change that this?
Just check that quickly. Looks okay. We seem to be having some problems with radio interference.
Hmm?
We seem to be having some problems with radio interference, so it should be.
Okay, but you want to reuse this one or that?
Just keep going.
Okay. Whatever. I'll just shout if I have to. Everyone who knows me says I don't need a microphone. Good morning, everyone. I love it, you know, when I sit in the presence of the Lord and I just seek His face for what He wants to do every morning. Before I got up here, I'm still sitting there because it doesn't matter what I've had off the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in worship, anything can take place. And I'm still standing there, sitting there saying, okay, Lord, what is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? And the Lord said to me, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And He reminded me that when Paul first went to a city where he met Lydia, do you remember the story of they were trying to go into Bithynia and the Holy Spirit prevented them. Then he tried to go into another city and the Holy Spirit prevented them. And then in the middle of the night, they got what's called the Macedonian call. They had a visitation of an angel who said, come on over to Macedonia. And they headed for the capital city of Macedonia. And they went to the river because they heard that the women washed their clothes and prayed there. Well, if they're washing their clothes as a gathering, if they're praying, they must be praying to someone and they must have a spiritual heart of some degree. It doesn't say who they were praying to. Some were praying to God, some were praying to other things. But he went there and it says that God touched Lydia's heart to receive what Paul was saying. The heart is really the issue. It's always the issue. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. And today, God can touch a heart. It's quite a fascination. You can harden your own heart. Do you know how you harden your heart? By not believing. By not trusting. Hearing the word coming forth all the time and saying it won't work. That will harden your heart. Hearing the word of the Lord giving you instruction and not doing it hardens your heart until in the end your ears close and you think there's something wrong with the church and the preacher. Because God's not in this place any longer and He certainly doesn't use the guys to preach to me. They must have lost their anointing. No, your heart has hardened and you've gone backwards because the day you got saved, if you got saved, God gave you a brand new heart. It was the heart of Jesus Christ, which is soft towards God, which is intimate towards God. But all you've done is, you know, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, the parable of the soil, I say it's always about the heart condition. You go backwards and backwards and backwards until in the end your heart goes hardened and can't receive what the Lord is saying. Thank you for that underwhelming response. And as I always say, I'm going to preach this way if nobody else responds to me, because at least I know the walls will shout. I really started to pray that morning. This morning, I knew what the Holy Spirit is saying is, ask me. Ask me to do for every heart in this building what I did for Lydia. My God, I can feel that anointing. I can. The compassion of Jesus. I want to deliver you. I want to save you. I want to heal you. I want to transform you. I want to make your dreams come to pass. So let's start. Put your hand on your heart right now. If you believe what I'm saying is the word of the Lord to you, put your hand on your heart and ask with every fiber of your being, with every reality that you can give. And don't be religious, but just say, Lord, I need my heart touched by you to receive the word this morning. Lord Jesus, let your spirit do that same miracle that you did for Lydia. Do it for every one of us in this room today. That we might go out through this door, our hearts softened. Our hearts ready, our hearts awakened. to the voice of our Savior, to the voice of our Lord, that we would sense the slightest whisper and that we would trust you, believe you, and obey you. In Jesus' name. Good morning again. That's it. That's the best thing I could give you this morning. Did you sense that? It suddenly welled up inside of me and boom. I could feel the compassion of Jesus. I could still feel it. I want you to turn with me. Mark chapter 5. If you weren't with us last night, I'm going to give a little recap of what I shared because it flows into today. But let me just begin like I said last night. We have seen a generation, this past 40 years, we've seen a generation of people running to and fro, to every conference, looking for a new word. What is God saying today? What he wasn't saying a few months ago. Getting new books because somebody has brought out a book. It's the apostolic time. It's the prophetic time. It's the end time. It's the new time. It's the whatever time. And we run from book to book, YouTube to YouTube, because have you heard what so-and-so is saying? And I said last night, I got good news and bad news. There is no new word, is the bad news. And the good word, the good news, there is only one word, only one message. It's the same. Yes, change, stop things. If we could just do the simplest things that Jesus told us 2,000 years ago through his own words and through the words of his apostles, if we just grasped them and did them, we wouldn't be running around looking for where God is moving. We would be moving with him. He would be moving in our lives. The early church didn't have a pen. They didn't have a paper. Didn't have a pencil. They didn't have a notebook. They didn't have a YouTube. They didn't have an iPhone. They didn't have an iPad or any of the technology that we have today. They didn't have any of it. They had no buildings, no PA systems. They didn't have big worship bands, but they had something called faith. And they walked in it and they turned their world upside down. That by 30 years after Paul's death, over 100 million people that we know of had come to Christ. And the Romans and the Greeks were all persecuting the church because the church was turning the known world upside down, inside out, right way up. Because they were not concerned about the things that man was concerned about. Therefore, controllers couldn't control them because they couldn't control them with money. They couldn't control them with the fear of death because they had no fear of death because it got wiped away when they got born again. And there should be no Christian in England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland that should, or any planet, a place on the planet that has the fear of death. If you have the fear of death, you're still enslaved to death. You shouldn't have the fear of death because the fear of death is a shadow. Death is just a shadow. And when you pop into heaven and see what heaven is like, you'll think, what the heck was I worried about? What was I trying to hang on to? It's like trying to hang on to an old rust bucket of a car that hasn't worked for 30 years and God's trying to give you a Rolls Royce. Yes. No, Tristy, he's not trying to give you a Rolls Royce. That was just terminology. I saw that hand. She said, yes. Amen. Well, if you're going to go for something big. Yes. You know? Don't go for a free rail ticket. Go for an airline or something. We are so afraid, so often afraid to let go of stuff that in the spirit world is meaningless. And we're afraid to lay hold of the stuff that is everything to God. And he doesn't understand. We've had the divine exchange through Christ. The divine exchange. Old for new. Or new for old, I should say. The other way around. Whole for broken. Powerful for powerless. Do you know, I mess people up. Especially in places like America. You talk about wine and you can feel the old Presbyterian spirit arises in them. You know, the old Pilgrim Father spirit arises in them that, no, we do not talk about wine. We don't drink wine. I say, well, you miss a complete message if you don't understand Jesus turned water into mature wine. He didn't turn it into fruit juice. That's an absolute nonsense. That's a completely different Greek word. It's not even in the Bible. The word used in the Bible is the most potent wine. Now, I don't know much about wine. I've never made a bottle of wine. I've drunk a few, but never, not all at once. Don't panic. But I have been to a vineyard where they make it, and they showed me how they make what's called fortified wine, where they mix a brandy or mix up another spirit in with the wine to give it that potency. And the Greek word used when Jesus turned water into wine is for that. He didn't turn uncolored water and make it colored water. He didn't take something that had no aroma and make something else with a color but no aroma. He turned something that was powerless to something incredibly potent. And he's trying in his very first miracle to tell you what he wants to do in your life. Oh, I'm glad you're so excited. Because your excitement is nearly making me just give up. Because you're drowning out my message. I don't think I can continue because you've already got the message. You're so excited.
Amen.
It says that when Jesus appears in the air, that we will be caught up with him. In other words, there's one generation of Christians, one generation of believers at some point that will defy all physical logic. All physics won't be able to hold them. The whole church will arise and defy the gravity. Just before that happens, John tells us in 1 John that when we see him, we shall be just like him. If only one generation is true, that could be ours. Yes. But there's a little key in the scriptures. It says, the bride has made herself ready. So every time we delay being changed by the Spirit of God, by responding to the Word of God, we delay his coming. Yeah? He is looking for a company of people who are worshippers. And worshippers don't necessarily mean they're singers. Because otherwise only those with a good voice could be worshippers. Like me. No, like Chris. Hello? Worship is not singing. Singing is an expression of worship. But tithing and giving is an expression of worship. Laying hands on people in faith is an expression of worship. Doing anything because you love Jesus and because you love the Father and he says, will you do this for me? And you go do it. It's an expression of your love for him. And love is the highest word for worship. The greatest and oldest word in your Bible for worship is to kiss with affection. Intimacy. And everything that I do for the Lord out of that place of intimacy is an act of worship. And the Father is looking for a company of people Not the individual. A company of people where the Spirit of God is so flowing in the earth in a company of his people called the church that suddenly they rise out of the blackness and the darkness and the brokenness and the mess of the earth. And all of a sudden there is a separation between the light and the darkness. And light suddenly rises to meet him and be caught up with him because he is the light and we are the lights. And there's coming a day, but I would ask you today after that prophetic word, if today was that day, would we be caught up? If today was that day, would we arise and would we go? If we were all suddenly taken up to caught him into heaven and he takes us away, the light has gone and the earth is flooded with darkness. And I want to ask you a question, simple question, two questions. Would anybody notice? The second question, would anybody care? To a lot of people outside the church, they'd be glad. Not because they want to sin or live in darkness, because they can't understand our religiousness. They don't see the love of Christ, they see a religious law. Intolerance to sin. I think that is really funny. Yeah. Intolerance to sin. Anybody in here perfect outside of Christ? The only reason you're perfect is because you're in Christ. Yes. Hello? Yes. That's called grace. Did you earn it? Yes. Did you do anything to get it? No. Oh, the only thing you did was say thank you. Yes. You turned to him and put your faith in him and you received his forgiveness. And you're still working through things. Because if you weren't, he wouldn't be saying what he says this morning. Oh, thank you, Wynn. My Lord, slap us. Slap us from wall to wall. Keep going, Wynn. I tell you now, if we were on fire the way that God wants us on fire, and if we were in that place of worship and in that place of intimacy with God, the one thing everybody would know is the love of Christ. Because as he is, so am I in this world. And it was love that took him to the cross. There was no arm up his back saying, oh, okay, Lord, if I have to. Really? Well, I'll do it for all those people, but don't ask me to do it for Bill. Don't ask me to do it for Wynn. He died for all. Willingly. Knowingly. He suffered the shame, but counted it no cost. He wasn't hanging on to an earthly life. He wasn't hanging on to an earthly ministry. He wasn't hanging on to some reputation that he picked up in 33 and a half years. He didn't have a mansion and a car. He didn't have or maybe it would be a garage full of ponies, I don't know. He didn't hang in on the day called Scarlet. It was one piece of linen. Yes, we know it was expensive. Yeah, but it meant nothing to him. He couldn't care about it. He wasn't even hanging onto his body. So when they stripped him stark naked and hung him on the cross, don't look at the nice art poke. No, it didn't. He didn't look like any artist had ever painted him. He looked like a red raw piece of meat. Stark naked to shame him. Yet he could not be shamed. Because he wasn't ashamed, because he was standing before his Father. Everything he was doing was an act of worship. He didn't mind what anybody else said, as long as the one person was smiling. Wow. Are you alive? Well, if you're breathing, breathe louder. At least that'll help me. Mark 5, let's just look at this and I'll recap from last night. Now, Mark 5:25 says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, turn to somebody and say, she heard about Jesus. Now turn to the other way and tell someone else. You obviously didn't hear, so I'm telling you again. She heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said. She said something after hearing about Jesus. Do you know, when you meet someone or you hear someone, you pick up an opinion. You pick up an evaluation. You have a thought pattern about that person. And you might say things. Depending on what you heard is what you'll say. If you've heard great things, you probably say great things about that person. Hello? She heard about Jesus and she said, so look at her response. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She said it. She didn't wait for Jesus to say it. She didn't have a thought for the day that told her. She didn't have a Bible that told her. She didn't have a lecturer tell her. She didn't have one of the disciples run into the house and say to her, by the way, when Jesus walks by, you can touch the hem of his garment and you shall be made whole. No, this is from the Holy Spirit. There's nobody else in the house. She's locked in her house. Do you know this woman has had an issue of blood for 12 years? She can't make love to her husband. She's not supposed to pick up her own children. She can't go to the market to shop. She can't go outside and socialize. She's not allowed in the street. She's not allowed in the synagogue. And she's not allowed in the temple. She is not allowed out of the house because she is unclean. Yet somehow, as Jesus and the crowd walked by, she heard something of Jesus. We don't even know what she heard. But we know what she heard made her say something that is absolutely amazing. She said, if I just get into the crowd, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She determined what was going to happen. She determined that the power of God was going to flow. It wasn't Jesus. He had his mind flowing this way and suddenly stopped because he knew the issue of power had gone out of his body. The virtue of God, the healing anointing had gone into the woman and made her whole. Can I tell you, the word doesn't say made her well. It doesn't say she was healed. It says she was made whole. She had said before that when she went to the physicians and paid them the money, she not only was worse off, but she was under affliction from them. So when Jesus made her whole, he removed all the affliction. He removed the scar. He removed all the damage that they had done in trying to treat her. Wow. It's like saying to a leper whose nose has fallen off, whose ear is half chewed away, whose half of his fingers have gone. And when it says he was made whole, do you understand? It was all back. Jesus just didn't want to heal you. He wants to make you whole. My God. Well, I'm more excited than you are about this. I suppose that's the joy of preaching. You preach yourself happy if nobody else is. It says of, do you know the account where Jesus, a blind man comes to him and Jesus makes mud, spits in it, puts it on his face. The Greek terminology means he had no sockets, let alone no eyes. There was no sockets in his face, let alone the eyeballs. When he washed in the pool of Siloam, there were sockets, there was eyes, there was sight. He was made whole. As I said before, if you're going to believe for something big. You know, if only Jesus would just restore my little finger, boom. I wish I'd asked him for the other nine. Wouldn't you? You would, wouldn't you? Hello? I remember a time where we, when we had the church over in Wales, we had a lot of physical healings, but we went through a season, quite dramatic, about 6 months of it, where I taught the church to make a faith confession, because if you don't know by now, hopefully by the end of the service, you will get this. I believe in saying what God says. I believe that there's power in words, and there's no greater word than the word. So if you match your word with Jesus' word, then it's going to come to pass, because his word cannot come, not come to pass. It has to come to pass if I believe it. So if I believe it, I'll say it. And that's what today's message is about, is hearing something and saying it. You see, if you hear the right thing, you'll say the right thing. If you hear religious stuff, you'll say religious stuff. And the church is paralyzed. It's paralyzed. Probably 90% of the body of Christ are wishing they would do, that God would do things for them. Instead of understanding, God's done them. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to believe it. And if you believed it, you'd say things. Like that woman. There is no evidence she ever sat at the feet of Jesus and heard one sermon. All she had was a crowd going past her window, and she heard something. She heard something, and suddenly the Holy Spirit took the little and touched her heart like he did with Lydia, and suddenly the woman's faith comes alive, and she just knows, if I run through that door and touch just the hem of his garment, I don't need to touch his hands, I don't need to see his feet, I don't need him to pray for me, I just need to touch the bottom of the cloth he's wearing, I just need to touch his denims. If I just get a hold of his anorak, I shall be made whole. She was emphatic. And I used to teach that to my church over and over. And one day, before the offerings, I just decided to put this prayer up on the screen. I said, okay, everybody, stand up. This is called a prayer of confession. We're not going to ask anymore. I'm tired of teaching you and you still asking for stuff. Stop asking for stuff, because he says, if you seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. So either you're not seeking the kingdom, or you're still in religious thinking. And you're still begging God instead of understanding. The treasury, not the treasure, the treasury of Almighty God is inside of you. You don't have to go to heaven to get anything. It's already here. It's downloaded. You've got the biggest bank of England, or the biggest bank of anywhere, right inside of you. And all you have to do is open your heart and make a transfer. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening and shouting. And so I got this thing up, and it just says things like, I am, can you remember what I used to say? I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I can have what the Bible says I have. I can give what the Bible says I can give. I can go where the Bible says I can go. And I can say what the Bible says I can say and do what the Bible says I can do, because I am anointed. I am Satan's personal nightmare. Debts are paid off. Royalties received. Gifts and surprises will come. And I, statement after statement after statement, I tell you, the first time they all read it, they thought I was nuts. It was like, oh, that's nice. So I said, I can really feel your faith in action today. So I'm going to use my faith. I want anybody right now to tell the Lord what it is that you're looking for him to do. And somebody shouted out, which is unusual in the British church. But as I always say, we're not British any longer. That was crucified at the cross. You are from heaven. Heaven is your home. Heaven is your capital city, Jerusalem. And the heavenly Jerusalem is your capital city. That doesn't make you a Jew, by the way. It makes you heavenly. It makes you of the kingdom. And so she shouted out, I want a 42-inch flat screen color TV. And I shouted, and everyone started loving. And suddenly somebody over went, I want a 38. I don't know why. Maybe there was a TV anointing. I'd never heard of one before. But the following week, before we made the statement, I stood up and said, here's the statement we made last week. Any testimonies? Yes. I said, come forward, tell us. I wanted to give the microphone so it could be recorded. And So I said, what did you call out last week? Or what did you ask the Lord for? She said, I was the one asked for the 42-inch flat screen color TV. I said, what happened? And she tells this testimony, miraculously, how somebody blessed her with this. And it was the exact thing that she'd asked for. Now, there's a shock. I don't remember the exact figure, but it was something like 15 or 18 people came forward testifying that what they'd shouted out the week before about flat screens, TVs, they had all been blessed. Now, hang on. One being blessed in a congregation, you go, oh, praise God. Two being blessed, you go, oh, that's amazing. Five being blessed, you go, oh, this is just never heard of. Five in the, all being blessed. 15. 15 flat screen televisions, exactly what they asked for. They didn't go out and buy them and say, God bless me. No, people blessed them with them without asking. Not one testimony. And there was another girl right at the end. It was my secretary's daughter. And I came to Claire. And I said, what happened, Claire? She said, oh, she said it all went wrong. I said, what do you mean it all went wrong? She said, well, I asked for a black and white one. I said, didn't you get it? She said, yes, I got a black and white 25-inch screen TV. And somebody shouted out, well, you should have asked for a color one. And she stood up and went, oh, jeez, I'm sorry, I repent. I'd like a flat screen TV color. She went to work. She worked as a teacher. An unsaved person just turned to her in the week and just said, you know what, I bought this TV and it's the wrong size. Guess which size it was?
25.
The 25-inch. And they said, I don't know why, Claire. Would this suit you? 6 to 8 months, this kept happening, week after week. It went from televisions to cars. It went from all sorts of stuff. Jobs, debts paid off. A lady came forward and said to me, I'm believing God. Will you agree with me, Vin? I'm going to believe God for my mortgage to be paid off. Now, if you found this lady in my church, you go, ah. You know the ones? Ah, sweet. A few sparks gone. One of those. No, I'm just trying. She's not the most intelligent person on the planet. She was very super spiritual, and we were always trying to say to her, come down from the clouds, get into reality. She was really all over the place as a Christian in many ways, but she loved Jesus. And so she just said, would you pray with me? I said, okay. Yeah, sure. I thought, thank God there's a scripture that says, according to your faith be it. Because I had none. I had no faith for her. I didn't. I'm going, this is hope. So I went, okay, according to your faith, I believe with you. The next Sunday, before the service even gets going, I'm walking across the auditorium to go to my seat. And she comes running up, win. She hands me an envelope. I said, oh, what's that? And she said, it's my tithe towards what we prayed for last week. I said, oh, you want to put a blank check in unsigned as a faith venture? She went, no, you can bank it. I said, pardon? She said, I had one of those phone calls that you've always ever dreamed of. You've heard of it on television that you never think anyone's going to do to you. She said, you prayed for me. 9 a.m. this next morning, on Monday morning, my kids have gone to school, my husband's left for work. I'm just pottering around the house, cleaning up, and the phone rings. I pick up the phone, and it says, is this Mrs. So-and-so? And she said, yes. Was your father's name so-and-so? Your mother's name so? Yes. Is your grandfather? Yeah, who is this? Well, I'm a lawyer in London, and I'm searching for the last living relative of a woman she's never, ever met. And he said, she's died and I'm supposed to sort out the will and there's nobody left except you. And she said, oh, thank you very much. That's like, can I ask how much it is? He said, £250,000. She paid the house off. We had 6 to 9 months. Why? Because we were confessing what the Word of God says. I cannot tell you any clearer the importance of stop saying nonsense. Stop saying religious stuff that you've picked up over the years. If it contravenes what God's Word says, don't say it. If you can't even come to a place of faith to say what His Word says, zip the lip and say nothing. It's better. But don't curse yourself and keep yourself bound in stuff by keep repeating the same stuff. Turn to the person alongside you and say, he's preaching to you, but are you hearing? Last night, I spoke about the paralytic man who had 4 friends. They picked him up from his bed, in his bed, carried him to the house because they heard Jesus was in the house. And my message last night is, does the world hear that Jesus is in you? Because you are the house of God, not a building, not a church building. We're not supposed to go to church, we're supposed to be the church. I'm tired of 85 to 90% of the body of Christ being just like that paralyzed man. They're born again. They're connected to Jesus, yet they are still paralyzed, not flowing in the things that God wants them to be. They're still bound. They're still limited. They're still waiting for someone else to pick them up and carry them and do something. When God has paid the price through His own Son, that every born again Christian can be free from everything that paralyzes them and keeps them bound, so that they might walk in the power and the authority of Almighty God, that wherever they go, Jesus goes with them. You don't have to ask Him to come. He's already here. You don't have to wait for Him to come. He's already wherever you are. If you went into a bar, He's in the bar with you. If you went into a swimming club, He's in the swimming club with you. He's willing, and He's already told you He's willing. He wants none to perish. And if He wants nobody to perish, I think sickness is perishing. I think being in bondage is perishing. I think poverty perishes you. And therefore Jesus doesn't want you to be sick. He don't want you to be bound. He don't want you to be poor. He don't want you to be fearful. He don't want you in guilt or condemnation. He has paid for every born again Christian to walk this planet in victory over all the circumstances, over all the demons, over all the demonic activity. He's empowered every single one, but we're not connected. Did you wake anybody else up? Okay. What would you think if you went to Curry's and you bought one of those 43-inch flat screen color TVs and you took it home and you took it out the box and you had the place to put it and you put the brackets on the wall and you fitted it all up, plugged it in, switched it on, no picture. Hello? You'd think that's not right, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, that's not right. What would you do with it? Come on. You'd take it back. And you'd either get another one, or they'd say, hang on a second, hang on. They'd plug it in and press the reset button. Ah, it's working now. Something went wrong, but we pressed the reset button. Can I tell you? Oh. My 3 books are all about resetting the button of the church. And this last one actually says it, pressing the reset button on the way we do church. We need a Holy Ghost moment in all of our lives where He presses the reset button and says, let's take you back to what I said, not what the church said. Take you back to what I said, not what YouTube told you. Take it back to what I said at the very beginning. If anyone shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Sozo, the word is saved, healed, delivered, made whole. provided for and protected. Everything you'd ever want is already in Christ. We are like the TV, but we need to press the reset button to go back to the manufacturer's settings. Because the early church had none of the stuff that we had today, but they flowed in it all. It wasn't just Peter and Paul that flowed in the miracles. It was the whole body. Even a couple of deacons. Hello? Deacons weren't just, oh, well, they're practical. They can make the coffee, move the tables. No. They were full of the Holy Ghost. Pick yourselves men, repetitive, that the miracles, whole cities are coming to Christ through Philip and through Stephen. And miracles are happening. And when one of them looks up into heaven, he sees Jesus standing there in all his glory. This is supernatural. This is not somebody doing the teas and coffees because they're not very spiritual. The whole body of Christ was spiritual. The whole body of Christ was anointed. And they knew they were. And they said they were. And wherever they went, they turned their world inside out, upside down, right way round. It's not enough for 10% or 5% of the body of Christ to be walking in the things of the Spirit. It's for the whole church. And I want to show you. It wasn't one person that went to pick up their paralyzed friend. It was four. They were in agreement. And I guess the young boy was too. So there must have been five in agreement. And the number five is grace. And when we get into agreement with grace, anything is possible. Anything is possible. But these four boys had obstacles. Can I tell you a truth? Every word God has ever spoken to you, every prophetic word God has ever spoken to you, every dream God has ever given you, every desire that you have will be facing obstacles. It's not just going to fall into your lap. You've got to walk towards it and you've got to confess what you're expecting, but you might as well expect obstacles. It's called spiritual warfare in the Bible. But you are more than conqueror. Can I explain that to you? Can I? I'm just wandering all over the place in the spirit right now. Just feeling spontaneous. How many of you remember Muhammad Ali, the boxer? His former name was Cassius Clay. When Cassius Clay first got married, he was the world champion. And after a number of years, he went to fight Joe Frazier. The guy that he didn't battle with, I've forgotten his name. Foreman, who became a Christian afterwards. George Foreman had practiced and practiced and practiced to hit the life out of Cassius Clay, or Muhammad Ali, whatever he was then. Cassius Clay knew that he was stronger, that Foreman was stronger than him. So he decided to get his trainer all day, every day, for week after week, to throw a medicine ball at his arms. A medicine ball straight in his chest. He wouldn't defend himself. He'd just say, throw it at me and throw it at me. He wanted to feel what it would feel like having the punches. And what happened? He conditioned his body to receive the punches and it wouldn't hurt him. Because the medicine ball was heavier than the punch. So if you notice the hole, you watch it on YouTube, you'll see him. He does this all the way through for a number of rounds. And he's letting George Foreman beat the pulp out of him. And George Foreman says later, he didn't understand what was going on because he was expecting him to dance all over the place and chase him. And he wasn't. And he said, I was thrilled. I wanted to punch the light out of him. He said, but as I punched him, I could see he wasn't doing anything. And all of a sudden, he said, when I was worn out, bang. Bam, bam, bam. He's on the floor. Out. Muhammad Ali wins the battle. He's the conqueror. He's the conqueror. But he goes home to meet someone who's more than a conqueror. His wife. Because as he walks through the door, she's not watched him on television. She's been watching a romantic movie. She's got her hair in curlers. She got her nightie on. She's sitting there with her feet up on the buffet, eating a box of chocolates. And he walks to the door. She's not been out anywhere jogging. She's not been in the ring having a medicine ball popped. But he's done all that. He took it all. And as he walks through the door, he tells you, she just stuck out the hand for the check. You see, he's the conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. Because she did nothing to get it. She just took it. Jesus took it all. And comes to you, and all you have to do is take it. Oh, turn to somebody and say, he must be preaching to you because I can't get it at all. The first obstacle to the miracle is the man is paralyzed. Yeah, but the men aren't. The four friends aren't paralyzed. And they don't see that's a problem. They just see that's an opportunity. The second obstacle they have is the man is in bed, upstairs. And I don't know if you know, in those days, they didn't have nice wide stairs going step, 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 step. They had a ladder going up like as if he was going to the loft. So they had to get the man and the bed down without the man falling out of bed. Remember, the man is paralyzed from the neck down. The only thing that's moving is his head bobbing all over the place as they're moving around. He can't help them. He has nothing to give them. There's no strength in him at all. This is miraculous. You may come to a place today and say, I have nothing to give. I can't help God. Good. You're in the right place for your miracle, because God is not looking for your help. He's looking for your open heart coming to a place to receive by faith. And so they carry their friend down the steps, running through the streets, because now they're full on going towards Jesus. Could you imagine being the one on the bed, on their shoulders, bouncing all over the place? You can't stop yourself. You have no ability to balance. You're trusting in them not to drop you, not to roll you off. And they're running through, and all of a sudden, obstacle number three. Crowds. They can't get to the house because the house is filled and surrounded with people all the way out to the outside of the walls of the house. They can't get in. They do not see that as a problem. They see it's not insurmountable. It's surmountable. They just had to use something called vision. Creative vision. Then how do we get this? How do we do this? Guys, what do we do? What would we do? What would we do? Someone has the bright idea. Climb up on the roof. Drag our friend up with us. Now, Joe, this is what we're going to do. See that roof up there, 25 feet up? We're going to go up. Two of us are going to go up, and we're going to drag you up. Just make sure. They drag him up. And then it says they dig through the house. They dig through the roof of the house. Imagine if it's your house. This is not like some Hollywood movie. All the angels around Jesus singing. All of a sudden this lump of clay, this lump of something up from above falls to the floor. And all the people sitting down underneath listening to Jesus. Jesus is waxing eloquence all about the word of God. And they're going, oh, this is wonderful. And the owner sitting next to him suddenly says, who the heck is Hope? What did they do into my roof? And they're all going, you can't do that. That's somebody else's house. You can't dig a hole through somebody's roof. You can't tear someone's thatch off or tiles off and make a damage. But Jesus says, it says Jesus saw their faith. To Jesus, it was faith. To everybody else, it was stupid. But it was an obstacle that they wouldn't get in the way, because faith never sees obstacles. It sees the obstacles as an opportunity to overcome. Because faith does not give up. It does not back down, which is that quote from Hebrews. We will not shrink back. If we started in faith, we're not going back to unbelief. We're going to keep better to die in faith than live in unbelief. Oh, I'm preaching real good to this crowd today. Better to die in faith, never seeing what you thought you were going to see, rather than live in unbelief and see everything you didn't want to see. Hello? But by faith, Daniel overcame lions. By faith, Noah overcame a storm. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had a baby. You can guarantee that was by faith. Because there wasn't a spark of life in either of them. And when they looked at each other late in the evening and took their clothes off before they went to bed, they both looked like rolled up old maps. Creased in every place going. And there was nothing in Abraham going, woohoo, woohoo, go. And there was nothing in him that made her go, bring it on, bring it on. I just read between the lines. I think too many Christians just read the Bible religiously. No, read between the lines. Put yourself there. Remind yourself, if you are 100 and your wife is 99, but God has told you, you're going to have a baby. Well, about 99 is not the time to want one, let alone have one. I'm 69. I got 2 grandkids. I mean, it's like, why didn't this happen when I was 40? Not 69. They got more energy in one day than I got in a week. But they're standing there in faith. Oh, yeah. Abraham and Sarah tried to make it happen in their own logical way by getting a maidservant. And God let them do it. And then said, that's going to cause you a mess for the rest of your life. But there we go. You tried it. Have you done it now? Because that's not my baby, is it? Because my baby is by promise. It's by miracle. It's by my anointing. It's my ability. And so they had to try again. Well, could you imagine trying again? Let's see what happens this time. And this was has to become today. You will never get miracles when you say one day, but you will start seeing miracles when you say today, because you are making a declaration in the spirit realm of your intention, of your intent, of your faith in God. Because when you keep putting off tomorrow, you're saying, well, maybe it'll happen tomorrow. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. Maybe my prince will come tomorrow. Maybe my miracle will happen tomorrow. You're not actually in faith. But when you're in faith, your language changes and you start talking like Jesus and you'll start saying, today, today I will be delivered. Today I will be healed. Today will be my breakthrough. Today. And there must have come a day with Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah that they said, today, tonight's the night, baby. And she got pregnant. And God's word came to pass. Why? Because they stayed in faith. Every day it didn't happen was another obstacle to overcome tomorrow. Why? Because yesterday's failure always comes back to remind you as you're about to take another step of faith today and believe God to do it today. Yesterday's demonic brings yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day. The last 30 times you tried this and it didn't work. But Abraham and Sarah just kept saying, today, today, today. 4 men faced with incredible obstacles wouldn't see the obstacles as stopping them, but obstacles to climb over. And they climbed over and climbed over and climbed and literally dug a hole, dropped their friend at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said it was faith. You see, you can live by belief or you can live by faith. It's the same Greek word, but it depends on where you're at. Belief is what you believe on the inside. But if your belief doesn't make you change your language and change your actions, you're not in faith at all. You're still waiting for God to do something. But when you know God done it all inside of you, I'm not waiting for God to give me deliverance. I've already been delivered in Christ. If I'm not waiting for God to make me provision, I've been provided by all things through Christ who dwells within me, because I have the treasury and the life of God and the life of Jesus Christ inside of me. I have the name of Jesus Christ to use. I'm no longer Win Goss. I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. And I can use his name with the same authority Gwenda can use mine. And she can go to my bank and sign a piece of paper and get all my money without my permission. She didn't have to ask permission. I gave her permission. The day I gave her the status of my wife, I made her equal with me. And all that I am and all that I have belongs to her. She now doesn't need to say, can I spend? Can I buy? If that's the case, if she's doing that, I'm going to go, you don't believe you're married. Because if you know you're married to me, you know you have the right to all that I have. You have the right to my life. You have the right to what I am. You have the right to my first position in my life besides God. You have the right to take what I have and use it because I love you and I will love you forever. And Jesus loves me more than I could possibly love my wife. And he loves you more than you can possibly love anyone else. And he says, you are my bride. And the bride has made herself ready. How do you make yourself ready? Well, stop moaning and groaning about what you don't have and start declaring what you do have. Stop saying, I wish I was, and start declaring, I am. Because if he is, I am, then I am. I am, I am. I am healed. I am delivered. I am anointed. I am called. I am the devil's personal nightmare. I am. Do you know what I'm trying to do with you? Drive out the English spirit. Because I want to see a faith spirit. I want to see a faith spirit because I want Bradford upon Avon, Trowbridge, and any area around you, wherever you are. I want everyone to say they heard Jesus is in your house. Your house, not your physical, this one. I want people to hear about Bradford upon Avon, and when they talk about this church, they said, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? My God, it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting more influence, more influence. The miracle after miracle. There's so much joy. People are standing outside because they can't get in. Can I tell you, my father said that the days of the Welsh revival, there was a little chapel he was born in. I've been in there, I've preached there. You couldn't get 30 to 40 people inside. But it was where the move of God was happening. And so they took the windows and the doors out of the building so that people could sit in the graveyard outside. All around the building, hundreds and hundreds of people. Every single day of the week, not Sundays, every single day of the week, people were getting saved. And all the deacons were doing is, you just got saved, come down to the river. There was a little river down the road. And they would take him down, baptize them in water, and they walked home wet. Didn't provide them white gowns. 12 weeks of discipleship on why you should get baptized in water. Hello? Everybody knew where Evan Roberts was going to be. There was no posters. There was no emails going out telling him, by the way, Evan Roberts is not going to be in Aberdeen tomorrow. He's going to be in Treherbert. But they all knew. They heard. Somehow they heard. I bet they heard the Holy Spirit. And they turned up waiting for Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts used to say, I don't know how they knew I was going to be there, but they were there. They were more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than we are with all our technology, with all our knowledge. My friends, we need to bring our hearts back to Jesus and say, sweep it clean of every other voice so I can hear your whisper. And when I hear your whisper, I want to do what you say. Give me the grace, Lord Jesus. Give me the grace. Turn to three people and say, now he's talking to me and I'm hearing. I remember one day. Can you remember back a few years ago when there were four hurricanes, one after the other in Florida? I think it was the 90s, was it? Or just the early 2000s, I can't remember now. But four, in one after the other. I was in Florida just after the third hurricane came through when the fourth one was coming into Florida. Guess where it was coming? Exactly where I was. It went right over the town of where I was in Brooksville. My friend is a builder. He said, we've put you in a villa. Don't worry. It's bomb-proof. It's fireproof. It's hurricane-proof. You'll be fine. Problem he forgot to tell me is that he didn't put any food in there. So I was stuck in this building for 2 days without any food or water. But I was safe. He went off because they had to board up every house they could think of and lock down everything they could think of. And so when I was in there, this is my first experience of a hurricane. And there were the villas were on a golf course and we were all around this little pond with a light fountain in the middle. Well, I tried to sleep, which is stupid. You might as well give up because all I could hear was garage doors being ripped off and slung around like it was a bit of tinfoil. Everything you could think of was being moved. And so I got out of bed and the whole side of the villa was glass. And you could see outside in the light and the light was blowing like this. But you could still see the lake. And as I'm looking at the lake, I'm thinking, that's like four times the size of what it was when I went to bed a few hours ago. It was absolutely ginormous. And it was coming up and up because we were up on a raised area and it was coming up towards us. And then I looked over to there where the golf club was. And there was a big bank about 12 foot high. And I thought, look at the water running down, running down. And I looked again. I went, no, it's not. It's running up. The wind was so strong. The hurricane was, it was taking the water and running it up the bank to where the golf club was. The golf club was. And then all of a sudden, 11 trees were uprooted like as if they were milk straws and thrown up in the air in front of me. And I stood there and all of a sudden, one of those villas that's supposed to be bomb-proof, the roof just went straight off. Thank God, I just prayed. It's not coming off mine. They came to fetch me after a little while, take me for breakfast. And as my friend Vance drove me around the area, walls were demolished. Roofs had come off, all of the houses. There wasn't a house in the area that had a roof. They were all gone. And my heart sank as I was beginning to think, and the Lord said to me, this is what I want to do in my church. I want to take its roof off and take down its walls of limitation. I want to defy gravity and defy all. There is a God in the church. I want to show them his name is Jesus. And he does today what he's always done yesterday, today, and forever. He said, but my people just won't trust me. You'll always have obstacles to your dreams. You'll always have obstacles to the words of God. And if you take a stand today, just let me give you a bit of wisdom. The day you take a stand for something that you've never taken a stand for, all hell is going to try to take a stand against you. But you need to hang on to one simple truth. This is absolutely the simplest thing in the world. And it's absolutely one of the deepest truths. Resist the devil and he will flee. There's not even a contest. There's not even a battle. The battle is standing, not moving, not shrinking back. Take your stand in the word of God and stay standing. Having done all to stand, stand. That's a pretty simple message, isn't it? If you've done all to stand, stand. If you're clothed in Christ and you're in Christ, if you're in faith and you have the word, you have all the weaponry, you have all the defense mechanism, you have faith in your heart, then stand. And the way to stand is open your mouth and confess to the devil what Jesus is. He is Lord of all. He is the master. He is the redeemer. He is the creator. He is the recreator. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. There is an obstacle around you. Lots of people are in unbelief in Bradford upon Avon and this area. Oh, that's just an opportunity. We don't see many sicknesses and healings sicknesses healed in our meetings, and that's just an opportunity. Waiting for someone to stand and say, if no one else will go, I'll go. The problem is, it shouldn't be if no one else will go. It should be, who would like to go? And every hand goes up. You don't have to be mightily prepared for everything. You just need to be prepared. One Friday afternoon, I used to go into my office. So Friday mornings was always the day that I sorted out my message ready for Sunday. I used to take it into my office, and about 1 o'clock, I'd give it to Anita, my secretary, and she'd type the notes up ready for everybody who's going to need to use them for the overhead, etc. And for me, obviously. And I would just look through my mail, and about 3 o'clock, I'd head off home, or I'd head to the golf course with my son to have a few hours on the golf course. That was my week finished until Sunday. And when I'm sitting there looking at the mail at my desk, I can hear my secretary talking to somebody, and she said, hang on a minute. And she comes into my office and she says, I got a lady on the phone, and she's really, really in a poor way, and she's wondering if we believe in healing. And I've told her we do, and she says, do you have anybody with the gift of healing? And she says, we have everybody that has a gift of healing, because that was our teaching. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got healing. You've got the Holy Ghost in you, all the gifts are in you. You may only flow in one or two, but that's not his fault. Don't blame that on him. He doesn't want you to have the others. He wants you to have them all. I always say this, if he gives you the fruit of the Spirit, how many of the fruit do you want? All. Well, it's the same with the gift, because it's the same person. So she said, all. So she said, hang on a second. She comes in to me and she says, she's looking for someone to go pray for and lay hands on. So she said, who do you want me to send? I said, well, where's she live? Oh, I didn't ask her. So she runs back. She comes in. She says, she lives in Newcastle Hill. Newcastle Hill was 200 yards from where I lived. So I said, well, I'll go. I said, nobody closer than me. I said, tell her I'll be there by 3:30. I went downstairs to our bookstall, and we used to have little books with scriptures of healing inside to memorize, little pamphlets. So I picked up two of them, and on my way home, I went via the house, knocked on the door. Her husband comes to the door. I explain who I am, and he welcomes me in, and she is sitting in the chair, bound over with arthritis. She'd be the same age as Gwenda now, so this is like 20 years ago. So she was in her 40s. No, sorry, she was in her 20s. She'd had a baby, and the reaction in her body was acute arthritis and all these other problems, and she couldn't move. She couldn't get up. She couldn't greet me. She couldn't hold her baby. Therefore, she couldn't feed her baby unless somebody else put the baby on the breast, and that was painful. So all these things. So I sat down beside her and introduced myself, and it wasn't long before she told me that she was an Anglican. She went to she was born again, and she went to the local Anglican church just across the road. So I just started talking to her. I said, well, listen, I haven't come to pray for you today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you these two pamphlets. The Bible says the word of God is like medicine to your bones. I said, if a doctor came to you today and say, take this medicine, he'd prescribe when to take it. Well, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Take it morning, noon, night. And I said, and when you read it, You read it and say, thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, I am healed. Amen. Then at lunchtime, say, devil, by his stripes, I am healed. Then at tea time, say them all again and say something like, when, by his stripes, you were healed. And I said, you do that for the next 24 hours, taking these scriptures, and you ponder on them, meditate them, say them, and make that statement. I come back this time tomorrow, and I'll pray for you. Because that's what Jesus did. He gave them the word, then he prayed. So I went back, 3 o'clock the next day, knocked on the door. The door flung open. It wasn't her husband, it was her. She jumped out. I'm not joking. I've never been so embarrassed in my life in the main street. She jumped out of the house and leapt onto me, slinging her arms around my shoulders and her legs around my hips. And she began to kiss me and kiss me on the cheek, going, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I said, well, I can see that. Is it true? Because you know her. She was a nurse, friend of Gwenda's. Why? Today. Today. Today is the day of salvation. So today is the day for you to walk in miracles. Today is for the day for you to preach it, teach it, believe it, confess it, expect it, lay hands on someone and know it's going to happen for you. Now is the day for you to look at your broken bank balance and start telling it to come into line with the word of God. There is no bankruptcy in heaven. There is no poor in heaven. God throws the gold on the floor and the jewels in the walls. He doesn't have a problem at all. He is not broke. He is not poor. And he doesn't want you to stay poor. I know that's a right theological challenge to some people, but come with me if you want, or write an email to me and I'll take you through all the teaching I've ever done on it, because you will find out you're wrong. And I have no qualms about telling you that, because I've been there. I tried to prove a major preacher he was wrong when he preached, God wants you to prosper. And all I did was convince myself he was right. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be protected. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to have a healed marriage, a full, blessed family. He wants none of your children unsaved. He wants them all saved, and he wants them all taught by the Lord. He wants them to be, you and your household shall serve the Lord. He wants your street to be touched by you so much that he's put an anointing on you that you can't feel sometimes, and you don't see that it's like a canopy over the whole area that you're in. The more authority that you know you have, and the more authority you believe you have, the greater the canopy. And all of a sudden, if you get into that, you'll realize you are the gatekeeper for your communities. And the devil has no power. He has no authority over you, and you can walk in. I'm saying this to you today. This is corporate, not for individuals. The whole body of Christ. Would you stand with me a minute? The four men, the four boys, had passion. We can see they had passion because they were not going to let anything stop them. They had heard Jesus was in town. They heard Jesus was in the house, and it brought passion to them that they were going to not leave their friend the way he was. And I'm asking you, don't let Bradford upon Avon or Trowbridge or Westbury or anywhere else around here where you live, don't let them stay dead in the things of God. Don't let them stay in darkness and sickness and bondage. Begin to understand God has placed you here on a mission. It's to turn the darkness away and let the light shine. But how can it shine in the streets if it's not shining in the house? They had passion. They had compassion. They had compassion for their brother. They knew if I was sick, I would want something, and I could reach and I could live my life. They wanted their friend to be no longer paralyzed. And I'm here this morning, if nothing else, I'm here for this company of people to be set free from every paralysis. Come on. Every paralysis in their mind and in their soul and in their heart, in their body. I want you to be the freest church that has ever existed in Wiltshire. I want you free. I want you free in the things of the Holy Spirit. The people don't know what to say about you other than, have you heard? Jesus is in the house. I want you so liberated that you can pay everybody else's debts off, not just yours. I want you so liberated and free that when the whisper of God comes, when the breeze of the Spirit moves in a room, you're off. You're flowing in the things of the Spirit. Do you know we shouldn't wait for Chris to warm us up with two worship songs before we get there? We should be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. The day we walk through the door, he's just tuning in. We're off. He has to catch up. In fact, we shouldn't even have to need him. Hello? We should be so full on freedom. We should be so free in the things of the Spirit. We shouldn't be waiting to feel anointed. We should know we're anointed. Even on our worst days, we're more anointed than the devil. On our worst days, we're more powerful than every sickness and every disease that could ever come against us. On our weakest and frailest moments, the weak shall be strong. You sang it this morning. Stop singing it. Do it. Stop singing it. Believe it. Confess it. There is no weak in Christ. You are strong. You have been made like Christ. His weakness, as it was, is in the eyes of the world, not the eyes of God. His weakness was that he trusted when nobody around him trusted. He obeyed when nobody would obey. He did what he said. We have said many things to the Lord, and probably a lot of it has never been accomplished. It's time to lower down our verbiage and mean what we say and say what we mean. Today, Jesus, I am Satan's personal nightmare. For a brief season, I knew Reinhard Bonnke. That whole thing of Africa shall be saved. He said, when it started in me in the jungle of Africa, when something inside of me said, I don't know how many people I can reach, but I want none that I reach to go to hell. I want to populate heaven and unpopulate hell. If only the whole body of Christ had something like that. Not one in my street is going to hell unless they fight me. No one is going to remain sick unless they fight me. These boys had vision. What's your vision? If you can't say what it is in 10 seconds, you don't know what it is, or you don't have one. So the answer is go before the Lord and get your heart before him that you can turn around and anyone can ask you. And in 10 seconds, you can tell them what it is. Can I tell you, there is only one vision? It's Christ. Christ in us, Christ in them. That's the vision. Take the gospel to the four quarters of the world, preach it until every creature is converted. And when they get the early Christians, when they said converted, they meant healed, delivered, set apart, empowered by the Spirit. They didn't just get the notch, oh, I got them saved. I got them to pray that little prayer. No. Wow. Could you put your hands back on your heart again? Because out of here flow the issues of life. And those issues are in you. They're in me. Just say this, if you believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release them to flow. Today. I release them to flow today in my life and through my life. I thank you that today I've heard the word of the Lord. And I thank you today I am saved. I am healed. I am delivered. I am anointed to preach the gospel. I am the devil's personal nightmare. Don't nod your head, say it. Say these things over your life because you have the greatest power over your life. I don't, you do. You have the power to say those things. When I lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. When I cast out demons, they shall leave. When I walk into darkness, darkness will flee. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we release you right now. We ask you to put your hands on every heart again.